Going to continue our series as we go into the last part of the Holy Spirit portion, and just to get everybody kind of up to date and where we're at, we've been doing a series of messages called Believe, and I don't know if Chris loaded the okay, but we're doing a series message on Believe, and what it is what we believe and why we believe it. And it comes from the foundation, the roots of it, is from systematic theology. If you ever go to Bible college, one of the courses that you have to take in preparation for ministry is systematic theology. It's a course that is really super foundational, super helpful. Your theology book is about that thick. And what it does is it takes the teachings, the major doctrines of the Bible, and it goes through them in a systematic way. So rather than going from, you know, taking truth from Genesis to Revelation, which, you know, is a continuation of the unfolding revelation of God, and that's Bible survey, that's another college course we take, but systematic theology takes the doctrines and truths. So it doesn't go through the books of the Bible in order, it goes through the teachings of the Bible, and we'll look to, you know, that. And so we started with the study of God, and that's theology itself. Which anything with ology is the study of. That's what ology is. Theology comes from theos, God, God the Father. And so theology started with the study of God, God the Father. And we started with that and how he created everything, how he planned everything, who he is. And then we went into Christology, which is the study of, anybody got a guess? In theology, it's pronounced Christology, but it's, if you read it, it looks like Christology. So it's the study of Jesus. And what a wonderful time it was to look at our Savior, who he is and what he did for us. And now we're finishing up pneumatology, which is the study of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, why pneumatology? The word, Greek word pneuma means breath. And that's because the Holy Spirit is the one who breathes God into us. He is the wind of the Spirit, the breath of God that comes into us when we breathe our last and our spirit and soul depart our body. It's the Holy Spirit who will go out with us and usher us in to the presence of Jesus Christ, who presents us to God the Father. We study Trinity as well. And that's such a wonderful and incredible thing that that the Holy Spirit is God within us and upon us, and that experience is going to happen. It's not going to be like touched by an angel. Remember Touched by an Angel? We enjoyed the show, didn't we, years ago? Not biblical, but it was enjoyable. There were some wonderful truths and family things and encouragement to live right before God and all of that. But there's not a blonde-haired angel that's going to come and, you know, and meet us and take us up there. To be absent from the body is going to be to present with the Lord. It's our breath. He's going to breathe out. We're going to be present in the presence of God Almighty. And so the Holy Spirit is pneumatology for those reasons. He's spirit. He's the breath of God and operates in our life. And as we studied who he is and we've went through that part of it, we wanted to wrap it up with the gifts of the Spirit, which are the as we learned last week, the manifestations or the operations of the Spirit that happen within the setting of the church. The Holy Spirit, as we've learned, is God, when you're born again, it's by the Holy Spirit coming into you, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit as he quickens you and makes your spirit, which was dead, alive. And so we start experiencing the ministry of the Holy Spirit internally upon us at salvation, but he begins that work even before, because he's the one who woos us to God, who draws us to the Lord, who's always pointing us to Jesus. And how many of you didn't grow up in the church and get saved so young you don't even remember life before Christ? How many of you remember the sinful life? And can you testify that there were situations and circumstances and moments, epochs in your life where God was calling you? He was trying to reveal himself to you. I know Holy Ghost goosebumps even remembering them and how he was working on me. And so we have that part of the Holy Spirit, and he's our helper and all of that. But we're wrapping it up as we transition to ecclesiology, which is the study of the church that we're going to begin, with the transition of how the Holy Spirit works with us in the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. And we're going to just review the first six that we did last week, and we'll finish with the three that we did this week. And let's go to I think, Chris, you moved my stuff around when you looked for this. Let's go back and just review where last week we talked about the categories of the gifts of the Spirit, that there are nine gifts of the Spirit. And maybe I should just share with you from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 those scriptures. You don't have that working still? I'm talking to Chris, and it's Cody back there. Chris grew a beard, so it must be a family thing. It's really not working today, is it? Okay, I'll just wing it then, so we don't have to worry about all that. Did Chris have you turn on the live stream and all that? You know how to do all that? Okay, and let's shut that one off. He found the Believe, the pixelated Believe logo. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let me just drop down to verse number 4, where it says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit, and the manifestation is the appearance, the where you can see it, you know, manifest, break forth. It becomes something that you can see or experience. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So he has some manifestations, and it's going to expound on those in a moment. And he gives it for each one, but it is for the purpose and the benefit of all. It's a body blessing, how God works through us. And so it's for the profit of all. And then it goes on to list these. And there, you'll notice that there's nine. You don't have to count as I read, but you'll discover there's nine. And then, as we shared last week, these nine are broken down into categories of three. There's three vocal gifts, there's three revelation gifts, and there are three power gifts. The power gifts do something. They're the miracles and things that, you know, that actually do something. And it's they're incredible. And they're the highest category that we would look at. And then there is the revelation gifts that reveal something. And we looked at those where God reveals things to us and we can see in the spirit realm, or he reveals information, past, present, or future, through the gifts of the word of wisdom, word of knowledge. And of course you see into the spirit realm through the discerning of spirits. And then the last three we'll see as we read this are the vocal gifts, and they're the gifts that say something. That's what we're gonna look at today. And that's gonna be prophecy, the gift of tongues, unknown tongues, and interpretation of tongues. But let's read what the nine are. In verse 8 it says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. Now what Paul does is he uses a technique in the first listing in this verse of the gifts of Spirit, by every time saying they're by the same Spirit, they're by the Holy Spirit. That these are not just random things and things that we acquire on our own. Everyone was listed by the same Spirit. And when you use language, when you've established that, how many of you remember, well, some of us are too old, maybe we don't remember some of the Sesame Street and all that, but maybe our children watch Sesame Street and all. Sesame Street's been around a long time. And they would show patterns, or Electric Company, and they'd show a pattern. And once you have a pattern established, then you follow that pattern. And so you get it, you know, in your own mind you can get it. And so instead of being so redundant for every one of the nine gifts saying by the same Spirit, he's established with these first four that each one is manifested and given by and through the Holy Spirit, right? So as you read on, in your mind, you're supposed to follow the pattern and be reminded that they're by the Holy Spirit. Oop, let me get my thing. So we've got that. So picking up at verse 9, it says, to another... verse 10, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. And then it goes on to talk about the body of Christ. And so here we saw this list of these nine gifts, and we started with the word of wisdom, which is a supernatural revelation, a fact from the mind of God that pertains to something in the future. This is going to happen. Like when God would tell Paul or Ananias, if you go here, you're going to see this. You're going to have this happen, a fact of something that's going to happen. The word of knowledge is a fact in the mind of God that pertains to something in the past or the present. And often the gifts of the Spirit will work in conjunction with each other. And so in that case where Ananias was being told to go into the city, where he says, where you will go to this street, to this house, and this guy's name, and you will discover a person there named Saul, and he's praying right now. Well, that was a word of knowledge. So you're going to go see this and go discover this. That was the word of wisdom. That's something that you're going to experience. But then you're going to get there and you're going to talk to Saul because he's praying, and I am going to use him to reach nations, and I have a plan for him. And so you see these two gifts in working together there. So that's the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. The discerning of spirits is not discernment. That's an entirely different thing that God helps us and can give us with experience in life, with the presence of the Holy Spirit and being grounded in the Word. We can start to have discernment, okay? And that's where you can just have a sense of things. But discerning of spirits is where you can see into the spirit realm. Like when Elisha knew that God was on his side, and his servants like, man, we're surrounded by the enemy. There's all these chariots. What are we going to do? And Elisha says, Lord, open his eyes that he could see. All of a sudden, he sees all of these chariots of fire. and it's God's army of angels. And they see that there's more on their side than it was against them. And I tell you what, you only need one of those. I don't care if there's 10,000 of the natural chariots of a ruling earthly emperor. One angel of God can be able to take care of that stuff. But he sees all the army of the Lord in there. And that was the discerning of spirit seen in the spirit realm. And it's anything in the spirit realm. God may let you see a demon. You know, I remember Brother Hagin talking about how he saw into the spirit realm one time, and it was like a monkey on somebody's back. You know, and it was just a demon that was tormenting them and just oppressing them. And he saw that and then spoke in the name of Jesus and commanded it to leave, and it ran off. That's the discerning of spirits. Maybe you've seen an angel. I've seen the glory of God. I have never seen an angel that I know of. Sometimes you can encounter an angel in the material realm. Okay, that's different than the discerning of spirits. But there are people who have looked up and seen angels appear or Jesus appear. All of that would be the discerning of spirits, where your spiritual eyes are open, seeing the spirit realm. I've seen the glory of God, just a cloud fill a room before. Not everybody could see it. My eyes were open to see it. And in another situation, I saw the glory of God in a form of rain. And it was a shimmering, sparkling kind of, drop of the rain, you know, it wasn't water, it was the Spirit of God, was just, I can't describe it, just twinkly, bright, beautiful, like just amazing. And saw that. Not everybody saw that. Then there's the power gifts. The gift of faith, which is the gift of special faith, to believe, to have faith deposited in you that you don't have, so that you can be able to receive something from God, because it's impossible to please God apart from faith. And everything we receive from God, we receive in the avenue of faith. Faith is the currency of heaven. So it's what we appropriate the promises of God with. But what will happen, and as you study these things, and even your own personal observation, you may say, it's odd because I see baby Christians and sometimes even non-believers or people that might come out of a denominational church where they've never taught the things of the Spirit, the things of God, never had that experience, so they'd have no faith for these things and don't understand that in these people's lives you'll see special faith, the working of miracles and the gifts of healing manifest. And you say, man, brother so-and-so is such a godly person. They've been in the church for so long, and I know they have faith. And they didn't go up and receive just this instantaneous miracle, but this other person did. Well, it's because we are supposed to live by faith. We are no longer children. We are the mature, and we live in a higher realm, so we can live by faith. And not be dependent on if that manifestation might break forth. That's for the babies. But God gives us something better As believers, we're supposed to grow and mature and study the Word and know the Word and be close to God and active to where we can receive the promises of God by faith. I remember God doing things in my life as a baby Christian that He doesn't do anymore. I mean, back then, I think they still make these. Priscilla just bought one of them. But they still make these Bibles that are made with paper and stuff. And I know they still do because she just bought one. I know mine's on the electronic, and they're all the Bible. It's the words, never been the paper. But I used to take my Bible when I was a baby Christian. I won't mess up your place. And I would say, Lord, just say something to me. Or, Lord, I've got this situation going on in my life. What do I do about it? And I would just go like this and flip. And I know I'm back in the Thompson notes here, but I'd flip, and all of a sudden, a passage, a scripture, a verse would lift off the page, and it would be the answer. Or it would be God revealing something to me. And I gotta tell you something, it was wonderful. I remember, just like we may remember sucking our thumb. What a comfort it was. What a joy. Or our binky. Or our blankie. Remember? But we grew up, and we can't carry our blankie around anymore. We can't just suck our thumb anymore because we've matured and grown up, and that's what God expects us to do. And so the gift of special faith is not, it's not, no, I can't say it'll never happen for you, but it's not likely to happen for you who are living by faith and growing in the Lord. It is usually manifested more for people who don't have faith or something. God expects you and me to have faith. To know how to find the promise. I don't get to flip it open anymore because I know how to find the promises of God. I know what the Bible says and where things are. I know resources and tools like the Strong's Concordance and the Knave's Topical Bible and a Thompson Chain Reference Topical System, Chain Reference System, and other things that I can find the promises of God that pertain to healing and believe God for my healing, that pertain to provision and believe God for my financial breakthrough. To believe for my children that need Jesus, or my grandchildren, or my neighbor, or my coworker, and I can confess scriptures and stand on the Word of God. And that's how that works. I just want to qualify these things for you to give you a little more insight, not only to what they are, but why don't we see these all the time here? One of the ways we're going to see the gift of faith, the working of miracles, gifts of healings, in manifestation in particular, is when we really go out of our way to start inviting unchurched people here. People who haven't grown up in the Word and the full counsel of God. Don't understand. They don't know. They're still, Lord, if it be your will, can you heal me? That's not a faith-filled prayer, and it will not accomplish anything. God said He is our healer. I cannot pray, well, Lord, I know you can, but if it's your will to pray, because that's not a prayer of belief. You know, we've got to feed on the Word of God. We have to answer that, develop in that. You and I know that, but baby Christians don't. People that come out of other church backgrounds that haven't learned that God's still moving, He's still the same Jesus, doing the same things, that He's working through His body. That when He said to people, if you'll believe, all things are possible to him who believes, that those things are just as real and true today as they were 2,000 years ago. Jesus is just as present today as he was 2,000 years ago. You and I know that. But some people don't really get it all. And you'll see these manifest. Is this helpful to you? Working of miracles is doing things that God will do through a person that goes outside of nature. And so a miracle happened, like the parting of water or an ability to be able to walk on water. You know, I believe that if God called me to a mission field, there was an urgent need in a village across the way, and there was no way to get across the body of water, that God could let me walk across that body of water. You and I don't have that need. In America, we have a bridge that's about, close within reason to about anything we ever need to do, anywhere we need to go. And God doesn't do these things just to do them. Nobody would have faith if that's all that you see. So there's not a need for it, but if there was a need, you could see it happen. And we've seen that happen, where we shared last week, Kingston lifted up, something that he couldn't lift up. But God, just supernaturally gave him an ability. A time where Dorsey spoke, and a guy should have been dead, crushed under, was it a trailer or something that fell on him? The desk was what Kingston did. Years ago, when you had been feeding on and learning about speaking and confessing, that's what we're doing on Wednesdays again. But years ago, and that it was a trailer or something, Jack fell out and landed on that person, and you said, you will live and not die.
Yeah, that was when a car blew out and blew his face off.
And he survived. Dorsey was there and was able to speak something, and he came through that. You know, and so, you know, we can see these things and expect these things to manifest and happen. And we got to put our faith out and be believing for them and craving them. Working in miracles is that sort of thing. Doing something that's outside the physical realm, not possible in nature. That's what supernatural or miracle means. It's super nature, beyond nature. And then there's the gift of healings, which is the same like special faith, where it'll be deposited, where just a healing will manifest beyond somebody's own faith. There's an anointing and a power, and God will heal somebody, even a non-believer. And Brother Hagin called this that the dinner bell to the gospel, where you'll see people have supernatural, immediate manifestations. Now, I would qualify and tell you something, that you have to get hooked up in a church and stay right with God and develop your faith to maintain and keep what happens. So that's why these are inferior and meant, you know, to help people that are babies and don't understand. But when I say it's better to live by faith, because you got to live by faith, period. If you go to a special meeting or you come here and God uses the gift of healing and you have a supernatural miracle, tomorrow you got to have your own faith to continue to have that. When most of you know that I'm a walking miracle, I live pain-free. I'm standing very straight, which was, I was twisted from years of pain because there's massive nerve damage in my body. And I say that accurately. There is massive nerve damage in my body where a disc ruptured and the first surgeon sliced the sciatic nerve and then left fragments of disc on the other side of it. And then another major surgery that I went through, they tried to get that scar tissue off and had to get all those fragments off. And what it did was it left me with a sciatic nerve, which is the major nerve going up your spine on each side, and it's engulfed in scar tissue. And if you have anything touch that nerve, like any nerve, it will send something to the brain. Can you imagine that mine's engulfed in scar tissue? And in a constant state of being inflamed and swollen. But I have no pain. That is not possible, and that's what's called a sustaining miracle. If I'd have walked up and got a prayed for and had the, you know, all of a sudden just went, whoosh, the pain's gone. But went out and started and just lived a life not for God and not developing my faith and maintaining my faith and thanking God and maintaining my belief in that supernatural provision of God, I'd be in a wheelchair. The best doctors in the country said I would live in a wheelchair in crippling, tormenting pain. And that's where I would be today, but for faith. And because of faith, I can do that. So that's why it's higher. And I'm trying to help you. I just don't want to give you head knowledge of what these things are, but to we desire them. We covet them. We want them to occur. But we want them to occur, to manifest, bring people in wheelchairs and sick and hurting and everything and pray for them and see the glory of God. And we believe and stand on the promises of God ourselves and have the same thing where we live in victory. Amen? Do you get the gist of what I'm trying to say? So the gift of healing is for that person to come in and God can work a miracle. But what do you do with that person? You got to start feeding them healing scriptures, the scriptures that talk about that so that they can maintain that. Because how many of us have ever known someone who's went, or maybe ourselves, went, had an answer to prayer, and then a week later, a month later, it's back. Because the devil, and we see it in the scripture, he'll try to come back where he's been ejected from. And he tried to do that with my back and has over the years. He doesn't do it very often now. But every once in a while, he'll try to slip in. And all of a sudden, I'll make a move, and it's just like all that pain and all of it. I mean this is just a wordplay. In all of its glory, I don't mean that as in like God's glory, will all of a sudden be there and go right through my body and take my breath, and I'll like bend over. I can't move, and it's suddenly there. And this hasn't happened for a while, but I'm telling you how the devil works. And he'll try to catch you off guard, and then I'll just say, no, devil, in the name of Jesus, I've been healed. And I'll just say, in Jesus' name, and I'll stand up, and it's gone. He's starting to see other people to this day. People that have heard my testimony and known me, never seen me in the agony. Looking like the hunchback in Notre Dame, dragging my foot in agony and torture, and my spine twisted from those muscles being twisted, contested in pain, so twisted up it took two braces. And none of you have ever seen that. You've heard about it. But I've had people who have even heard the testimony and then say, "Pastor Ray, don't do that. You're bad back." You know, you're lucky that I'm not a prophet. Because then it would come with a rebuke. But I'm a pastor. I'm a shepherd. I'm going to love you. Bless your darling heart. My back's not bad. And please never say that about my back. My back's healed. It's better than yours. Because the hand of God's around my back. It's a sustaining miracle. So my back is more solid than yours. Because you're just dependent on the natural design. I got supernatural at work down there. Isn't that something? Well-intentioned, but boy, so far off place. Is this helpful? Okay, we need to get into the final three. So the gifts of healing is for somebody, but they need to get the word so they can maintain it. I need to maintain it or else I'd be in a wheelchair. All right, so let me get into the next three, the vocal gifts. Let's start with prophecy. With each one, we talk about the highest in their category. And the gift of prophecy is, in the Hebrew, the phrase prophecy means to flow forth. In the Hebrew, the word prophecy means to flow forth. And it carries the thought like to bubble like a fountain. You ever seen a fountain just bubble and then it flows forth? Or maybe you could go to Mammoth Spring and you see this, what seems like a still pond, but there's water bubbling up from underneath. You don't see the bubbles like Big Spring if you go there, but it's coming out and it's flowing forth. It's coming from a source. And that's the meaning of prophesy, to bubble like a fountain, to let drop, to lift up, to tumble forth, or to spring forth like a spring. The Greek word translated prophecy means to speak for another. To speak for another, to prophesy is to speak for God or to be God's spokesperson, to be used by God because God is invisible. And he'll interact through his body, the church, and so he needs to use your lips, your tongue, and your vocal cords to speak something forth. And so that's the Greek word. And in 1 Corinthians 14:3, it says, "He who prophesies," 1 Corinthians 14:3, I forget, some of you have to turn there. It still takes a moment to push the buttons, though, doesn't it? "But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men." And that's just English term, men and women, to the body, to people, mankind, not males. You understand? And so he who prophesies speaks, help me, edification. Can you repeat it? Can you say that with me? Edification. Exhortation. And comfort to others. We can say it like that, to men. Thus we can readily see in the simple gift of prophecy, there's no revelation. And like these other gifts, we're going to have to qualify, like tongues, interpretation of tongues, there's a difference between the gifts of the Spirit, the manifestations of the Spirit, and the gift of prophecy or tongues or whatever that comes as a result of being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And we'll qualify that. So prophecy, what is our concept, our mental concept of prophecy? It means to predict the future, right? The prophets of old said this is going to happen. That is prophecy, okay, that comes forth from a prophet of God, and there's an anointing for the office of prophet where God will speak to that individual. He will get that revelation from God and then tell what God has said to the world. This is going to come forth. It's predictive. It's foretelling. I'm reversing. It's foretelling, which means to tell before. It's foretelling and it's predictive, okay? That's prophecy. But the simple gift of prophecy, in the gifts of the Spirit, there's no revelation. There's no future prediction. What is it? Can you help me again? Edification, exhortation, and comfort to individuals. Prophecy, through the office of a prophet, can be predictive and it can be not edifying. Jeremiah wept over his prophecy. When you study in Bible college, he's called, maybe you've heard this term, he's called the weeping prophet because he saw the prophecies of what was going to happen. Israel be dispersed amongst the nation and the suffering because of their failure to honor God and to pursue God and that this was going to come and there's no stopping prophecy. And he would weep over it. Lord, no, no. And he didn't have to see it in his own time. He saw it through prophecy. And it was scary. You read the book of Revelation, it's not scary for us. But to not know Christ, it's scary to me for people who don't know the Lord and should motivate me to be a witness to them. Because it's scary for unbelievers to go through that time. I'm not going to be here. You're not going to be here. We don't have to suffer through that. God protects his people. That's a biblical principle that you can see. He always delivers his people. Just look at Egypt. It was Egypt that suffered the plagues, not the children of Israel. And God will do that. But it is scary for people who don't know the Lord, right? So prophecy can have not darkness in the sense of the lack of the light of God, but a darkness in the sense of foreboding, you know, and hopefully will bring a reverential fear for God and repentance. But the gift of prophecy, the simple gift of prophecy in the church, it is God speaking to the body. And it will be edifying, which is to build up. It'll be an exhortation to challenge us, to encourage us, to inspire us. And it will bring comfort to us, not discomfort. Do you see the difference? So with the office of the prophet, he may speak revelation and foretelling. And that's through prophecy, but the gift of prophecy is for exhortation. In the Greek word, the word exhort, which is in 1 Corinthians 14:3, means calling nearer to God or an invitation. So that exhortation is to call us nearer to God or an invitation. So when a prophecy comes forth, it's God saying, if you, my children, I'm pleased with you. Continue to do what you're doing, or draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. I will reveal myself to you as you hunger for me and pursue me, and that sort of thing. You know, it's comforting, and it's an invitation to intimacy with God. You see it? Okay. Diverse kinds of tongues. Let me just say, unknown tongues or diverse kinds of tongues, and the interpretation that these two gifts they have to go together. They need to go together, and there's a difference between just unknown tongues. When you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, you will receive the empowering of the Holy Spirit, and the initial evidence, the sign of that infilling, empowering, and having the Spirit come upon you is speaking in unknown tongues, and it's a prayer language. We saw that in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 10, over and over throughout the New Testament. The Apostle Paul speaks about tongues. We see that regularly spoken of. But then the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues is gifts of the Spirit that happen within the church body. And they're different. We see in Acts chapter 2 that when they spoke with tongues, God, because he wanted to let the world know what was going on with this initial appearance of this manifestation of God's presence, the fulfillment of the promise, that he let people hear. He gave an ability to have an understanding of what was being said. And it says, we hear them praying the perfect praises to God. They were praising the Lord. They were praying in tongues, an unknown tongue that they couldn't hear. No one could understand until God opened the ears and let, in that case, the people who were hearing it hear it. But what they heard was people praying. Their spirit was praying as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance, but it was their spirit praying to God, praising the Lord. And that's devotional tongues. That's what we all have when we're baptized with the Holy Spirit, where we can pray. We can make intercessions. It's our spirit praying the perfect praises, and the head doesn't get in the way. We all know about that. But the gift of tongues is God, just like prophecy, speaking to the church. And that's why it needs to have the accompanying gift, the interpretation of tongues. So it's a supernatural utterance by the Holy Spirit in languages that have never been learned by the speaker, and it's not understood by the speaker, and it's not always understood by the hearers. There was the exceptions, and it's happened overseas before, where somebody goes and starts speaking in tongues, and, you know, missionary goes in, and everybody there hears them in their own language. That missionary's praying in tongue. He doesn't know what he's saying. Speaking in a tongue, and everybody else hears. So it's that can occur, but usually it's the person that's doing it doesn't understand it, and most of the time the people that are hearing it don't understand it. And so speaking with tongues has nothing whatsoever to do with linguistic ability. You can't learn the language. You can't have a teacher sit down and teach you like they teach you English. A is for apple. B is for ball. And b, ah, you know, and all of that stuff. You can't learn tongues. It's not a linguistic ability. It is by the Holy Spirit. So it has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with the mind or the intellect of man. This is something that I didn't figure this out on my own. I heard someone say, do this, and I latched onto it because it's like, that is powerful. Because I know, and if you pray in tongues much in your own life, you know that you can pray and be speaking in a language and be thinking about any number of things. And so we want to renew our mind and develop our prayer time to where we keep focus. But you can. I can be driving down, and I do. I drive down the road, and I got to be paying attention to traffic and everything else. I'm still thinking God word, but two things are going on. I'm watching the rules of the road. But here's something I heard somebody say one time, because they say, well, tongues, that's just, you can't, it's not from God, you're just emotional, you're making up. It's like, you make up a language where it just flows out of your mouth. Bologna, salami, cyan, I can't do it, but tongues will come forth. But one day somebody said, do this. And so they said, give me a book, any book, and I'm going to read a passage, and I'm going to pray in tongues simultaneously. How many of you know your mind can't do two things at once? I know you say, I'm a multitasker, I can do it. You cannot do it. Your mind is not capable of doing two things, processing two things. What's happening, it may bounce back and forth, like when I'm driving and doing things. I can hold a conversation with you and become aware, but it's not fully engaged. There's a back and forth goes on, and you miss things. Just like if you watch a movie and people are talking, you say, I can do that. It drives me crazy. Because you cannot do that. You cannot do two things at once. And so they say, well, I'm seeing it. No, you're missing a whole lot. Watch the same movie with them, and they get quiet, or they do talking, but they talk at different times. And they'll say, I never saw that the first time. I'm like, duh. I did, because I wasn't talking, and I was trying not to listen to you. So I'm all the time saying, shh. Because you and I know, truly, in reality, you cannot, your mind is not capable of doing that in natural. I heard this person say this, give me a book, let me read it, and I'm going to pray in tongues. And they did, and I've done it. And so, you know, because you can't make it up, not even, you know, to be trying to think it up, because it's really harder to think up another language that you don't know anyway. And so I just, Hoshipiaka talana namana shipietalona moho, and I just read the paragraph, and then I got done, and then I told them what the paragraph said. That's not possible. So if you ever have somebody says, I just can't believe that, do it. Because it has nothing to do with your mind. It's your spirit. Isn't that cool? And so that's how it works. And that's why we can pray in tongues and everything else. And that's why tongues is so superior in our devotional tongues, because our mind is so weak and flawed and easily distracted. We all know that when we pray. How many of you can't count the number of times you're like, oh, Lord, I'm sorry, because you were praying, and I mean praying, and the next thing you know it, you're thinking about MacGyver or what's going to happen tomorrow at work or, you know, whatever. I mean, it can be anything. That's because of the mind, but our spirit can pray. But in God's loving his church, just like in the simple gift of prophecy, he wants to exhort and comfort. Tongues with interpretation of tongues becomes equal to prophecy. Prophecy is speaking this word of exhortation, comfort from God in our known language. But the gift of tongues needs an interpreter, the interpretation of tongues. We read, you know, 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 3, let me read 4 and 5. It says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. He who prophesies edifies the church. So if I'm just in the church, and I do up here, I pray in tongues. Not out loud to raise my voice to the whole church. I'm edifying myself. I'm praying to God, and there's an edification occurring whenever I pray in tongues. It's just a mutual benefit because God and I are in connection. It's like, and life is flowing. But I don't edify others, so I don't raise that up, unless it's the gift of tongues, where God says, it comes upon me, and I'll speak forth in a tongue, and then someone will interpret. But prophesying, it edifies the church. God will raise something up, and they'll say it, and it's out loud to the whole church, and it exhorts, edifies, uplifts the church, okay? Brings comfort. But in tongues, when the gift of tongues happens, as long as there's the gift of interpretation, we're going to see here, it'll equal it. Because it says, he who speaks in tongues edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke in tongues. So I'm not rebuking the tongue praying, but even more that you prophesied when it's in the context, 1 Corinthians 14 is in the context of the church worship experience. So I wish you all spoke in tongues. And I wish you all could edify yourself. But more that you could prophesy and be a blessing to everybody, not just yourself. Okay? And so he says, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues. See the next word? Unless. Unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. See, as long as there's an interpreter, then there is an equality, because then the interpreter will speak forth in the English language, in our case, and then we will hear what God has said in that tongue to the church. Do you see how it works? You ever seen somebody interpret for somebody? You know, I love that. When I was in Korea, I went and listened to Billy Graham, and it was so fun because I was dead center in a crowd of 1 million-plus people. What a life experience that was. And Dr. Graham was doing his Billy Graham evangelistic style and had a little humor once in a while. And he would say something, he'd say, and God loves you. And I wish I could imitate him. God loves you. And then they'd go, in Hangul. And then he'd say something. But then he'd say something funny. And me and the couple people that were with, we laughed. And everybody around us were all like, oh, man, something funny is about to happen. Because the interpreter was going to come forth. And then the interpreter says his thing. And then 1 million people laughed. And it was so wild. But we've seen that on TV, or maybe we've been somewhere and experienced it. That's an interpretation, okay? That's a translation. And you notice this doesn't say the translation, tongues and translation of tongues. It says interpretation of tongues. What is the difference? An interpretation is where you bring the meaning of what is said. A translation is where I say word for word what is said. So in those cases in the world, we see translation going on. But sometimes you'll see an interpretation. Somebody will say something, and they've said a lot, and then somebody says, okay, well, here's the gist of what they said. That's an interpretation. Because they're not pausing. If you hear a preacher do it, they get skilled. Say, just enough, translation, just enough, translation. Some politicians do that, and so it'll go forth. An interpretation is to get the gist of it, the meaning of it. So if you've ever wondered, why is the tongue longer, and then the interpretation is brief, because what God was saying could be, in a nutshell, this is what I'm saying, and it comes forth. Or another time, the tongue is relatively brief, but the interpretation seems to be longer. Number one, from one language to another, it's not on a clock equal anyway, but an interpretation as opposed to a translation, it can be longer because God speaks, the tongue goes forth. He is given this, and then the interpretation then expounds. It's the interpretation. This is what I want to say, and it unfolds. Is that helpful to you? If you've ever wondered about why is that same odd in timing? Because it's not the translation of tongues, it's the interpretation of tongues. And he who speaks in an tongue when he interprets says, it says, greater is he who prophesies unless. So he says that when there's tongue and interpretation to the local body, then it's equal to prophesy. Can I describe it like this? A dime is worth how much? 2 nickels is worth how much? So if there's 2 nickels, it is equal to the dime. But how many of you agree? I'd rather have a dime to carry in my pocket, 1 small coin, than 2 bigger coins. So when you have the 2 nickels, they're equal in value. They're both worth 10 pennies, 10 cents. But the dime's better. But they're equal. Do you get it? There is your tongues and interpretation of tongues in contrast with prophesying in the church. All three of these gifts are where God is speaking to the congregation through the gift of the Spirit, enabling us to do that. Different than devotional tongues, where we see we're praying to God or we're interceding. We're still praying, but we're praying for ourselves, our family, you know, or others. And so it's to God, our Spirit praying. But the gift of tongues in the church with interpretation and the gift of prophecy is where God says something through the church. So I can exhort you. We've had people exhort. Linda's exhorted a lot in this church. Years ago, I turned her and Miss Willa loose on doing an offering teaching. It evolved into exhortation mini sermons. I mean, they had, you know, a scripture, but they had these powerful exhortations. They were wonderful. Did it for years, didn't we? And they were wonderful. I wasn't dismissing that. If I didn't want that to happen, I would have shut it down. So let's just read the scripture and say this. I didn't want to do that. It was an exhortation, and God used it. And so it would go beyond, often did, didn't it? God put it on their heart, and it go beyond just referencing the giving. And so that was an exhortation, and it was a blessing to people, but it was from them. Anointed, but when you have tongues interpretation, it's not just God moving on you and using you to say something. I'm being used by God in that way. I have my own frailties and flaws, and it's not perfect, but his anointing is on me, and he goes beyond past and beyond my own weaknesses, and by the Holy Spirit communicating things to you and to me while I speak. And that's wonderful, and it's edifying and comforting and everything else. But there's times he just says something to us. And it doesn't have to be a lot. I'm going to close with this remembrance. I've shared it as I've talked about God and who he is and how he works and everything. I remember being in my prayer room, my war room, which was a furnace room of my government quarters when I was in the Army in Georgia. And I just praying, and during my time of silence before the Lord, all of a sudden God said to me, my spirit, I didn't hear a voice, but I heard God say, I love you. And to this today, it's one of the most profound moments in my entire life. And all he said was something I already knew, but he said, I love you. And I will never be able to put into English words what that means. I can pray in tongues to him what it means, and probably still praying new things about what it means to me all the time because it was so profound. And God wants to say things to us as a church. And that'll be through the gift of prophecy, simple prophecy, not the prophetic office, and tongues with interpretation, not the gift of tongues, which is our prayer language, but a message that God's speaking to the church. And do we all now understand the difference? And now do you understand why it says, okay, well, you can't pray in tongues in church? He even qualified that. I wish y'all did it. But then as he expounds in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, you see the difference. And he's saying, you know, we need to have order and let there only be two or three messages in tongues. That's because God can say, I'm not going to do that more than two or three times. So he's, you know, when people try to work themselves up and do things, they can get into themselves. And so he tries to bring some order to it, but he doesn't hinder us from praying in tongues. People say, well, you're not allowed to pray in tongues in the church. And, you know, and it's wrong to pray in tongues in church. Did that say that? He says, I wish you all did. He said, in that context, when you're praying in tongues, you're edifying yourself in the church. And I wish you all did it. But it's better to prophesy if you're going to raise your voice and get the attention of everybody in the church and stop everything, then you don't. Then that has to be a tongue with an interpretation or to be a prophecy. Do you get the difference? It's not don't pray in tongues. We corporately say, let's just all praise the Lord. You all were doing that earlier. Some of you are saying, praise you, Jesus. Some of you are saying, I love you, Jesus. Some of you are like, Lord, I just give you praise and worship you. And you're just talking in your own. And everybody was saying their own thing, right? When we were just all congregationally praying to God. There's no disorder in that. And he hears every one of us. And he hears every one of us when we're praying in tongues. So congregationally, I can say, let's pray in the Spirit. And let's close with just a moment or two. I know the service started late. We've had some malfunctions. But let's just take a moment or two and just pray in the Spirit congregationally. And if God wants to raise up through somebody with a tongue, an interpretation of tongues, a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, or a gift of the Spirit, wonderful. But we're just going to take a moment, pray in our prayer language, and then I'll ask you to join faith, and we're going to pray. pray together from our hearts as I lead you. And God, let the gifts of the Spirit manifest here. We want to see these manifestations. We want to see your power. Use us to be instruments in your hand for communicating with and touching and changing people's lives. And so that's going to be what we do for the next couple moments. Is that okay? I know it's a little late. We're not going to keep you till noon, but just a few moments, okay? So I'm going to turn my microphone off, and let's just pray in the Spirit. Once that settles down, I'll lead us in that other type of prayer. Father, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you're hearing every person that's praying in tongues. I thank you that you're hearing them, and that Lord, they're even able to hear what I'm saying and comprehend it as they pray. I thank you, Father, that it's congregational, it's us praying to you, and it's biblical, and it's an appropriate thing to do. As we are edifying ourselves and we are getting connected to you, life is being exchanged between us individually as we worship you with our prayer language. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. And as you are continuing to pray in tongues, this is our prayer language. If you're sitting there and you're doing well, go ahead and do it out loud. If you're sitting there and you have not received the baptism of the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, just come on up here and I'll pray with you, and we'll get you to have that experience. You'll get filled with the Holy Spirit, and then you can join by praying in tongues today or in the future. Anybody at all that needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit with the gift of tongues as a prayer language, come on up. Let's continue to pray, and you just come up if that needs to be you. Blena shepokoto lono shapayaka kalana kole no shikiete ye ko kolena mani mene shipiete kayana namashi kolono kayi kalono shipotele nana shipiye ko tolono balana namashi peye ko kolena raha ho shitolena mapia katalena namaha beyana lana namaha beshi kotola namaha. My eyes are closed, so I'm not looking out there, but I encourage you, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you have the ability to pray with tongues, to do that out loud and do it in firmness, because there's no more comfortable place other than us alone with God, but there's no more other comfortable place on earth than in the family of God, the body of Christ, and in the presence of the Lord to pray. And we need to get used to it, because when we get to heaven, we're going to be praising the Lord a whole lot louder than we are today. So get bold and step out in faith and just say, Lord, I just worship you and I praise you, and then just praise him in your prayer language. This is just developing ourselves in the Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're not ashamed of the Lord. And if God's moving on your heart to give a word of prophecy, or a tongue, and somebody's got the interpretation, or you have the interpretation, then go ahead and just raise your voice and speak forth. Ble shapaka yalana mashi, or any of the gifts of the Spirit for that matter. Ble shipokote yana meshe kokole noshe payita lana namaha ke yino yena maha shipotolo noho. Ble na shipokotole namaha mena shikotole namaha. There's somebody that's here today, And your mind just feels like it's going, you know, got all kinds of, alarms going off and tilt signals, and you're just like, whoa, I don't get it all. I don't get what pastors said. What's this thing? But it's, Lord, we come to you as a congregation right now with our known tongue, and we say, Lord, that we covet the best gifts, the gifts that you want to manifest right here in Journey Church. And we hunger for it and desire it, Lord, with a fervent desire. We want to see the manifestations, not so that we can be impressed with the spectacular, you know, to delight ourselves, but no, Lord, to see you manifesting your glory as you bless people, as you touch